I swear, calibration is one of those things we keep stepping on without naming it. Every time we talk about whether a model is being honest or just sounding sure of itself, that's calibration hiding in the floorboards.
Yeah, and we keep doing the annoying podcast thing where we act like everyone already has the word in their pocket, which is very on brand for exploring next, unfortunately.
I know. So let's actually do the boring, helpful version for once. If a model says, I'm 90% sure, what does that even mean in the real world?
It means we want that number to match reality. If it says 90%, then across a lot of cases like that, it should be right about 90% of the time. If it says 90 and it's really right 60, it's not just wrong. It's overconfident.
Okay, that's the part I want to make feel concrete. So it's less, did it get this one answer right? And more, does its confidence line up with how often it tends to be, right when it talks like that?
Exactly. Think of a weather forecaster saying there's a 90% chance of rain. If that kind of prediction only rains 60% of the time, the forecast isn't calibrated. It's claiming more certainty than the world is giving it credit for.
Mm-hmm. So this is not some mystical vibe score. It's a bookkeeping thing. The model says a number, and we check whether the world keeps that promise.
Right. And the annoying bit is that models can be very good and still be badly calibrated. Accuracy and calibration are related, but they are not the same thing. A model can get lots of answers right and still be too confident about the ones it misses.
That feels like the first trap people fall into. They hear the model is 95% accurate, and then assume the confidence numbers are trustworthy too. Which, come on Tyler, you already know, that's where the bodies are buried.
Yeah, because the training objective usually pushes for being right, not for being honest about uncertainty. That's where the loss function matters. We did a whole episode on loss function, episode 688. But the quick version is, a loss function is just a rule that says how bad a mistake is during training.
And classification, which we also did in episode 691, is the setup where the model picks one label from a set of labels. So this calibration thing shows up a ton there, right?
You exactly. A classifier is basically a model that sorts input into categories, like spam or not spam, cat or dog, yes or no. Once it starts attaching probabilities to those categories, calibration becomes the question of whether those probabilities mean anything outside the model's own head.
Okay, good. And the other prerequisite here is model generalization, which we covered in episode 750. That just means how well a model holds up on new data, not the stuff it memorized during training.
Yeah. And calibration lives right next to that, because a model can generalize decently and still be miscalibrated on fresh data. In practice, the two often get tangled up, but they are separate questions.
So, walk me through the actual measurement, because this is where I think people start waving their hands. How do you test whether the confidence numbers are honest?
You collect a bunch of predictions with confidence scores. Then you group them by confidence, like all the cases where the model said 80%. For that bucket, you check how often it was actually correct. If the bucket of 80% predictions is right about 80% of the time, that's good calibration.
Right. So if the 90% bucket is only right half the time, that bucket is lying to you.
Pretty much. And if the 50% bucket is right 80% of the time, that's underconfidence. The model is hedging too much. People usually care about overconfidence because it can be dangerous, but underconfidence can be wasteful too.
That makes sense. And this is where the shape of the error matters, not just the raw error rate. Because a model that's wrong with a shrug is a very different product from one that's wrong with a megaphone.
That's annoyingly good. And you can visualize this with calibration curves, where you compare predicted confidence to observed correctness across buckets. If the model is perfect, the curve sits on the diagonal. If it drifts above or below, you can see the mismatch.
Okay. And this is where I want to make sure I'm not smuggling in extra stuff. The model isn't somehow introspecting its soul. It's just outputting a probability, and we test whether that probability lines up with reality.
Exactly. No soul, just math. And the probability is usually attached to the model's predicted class or answer. In a language model, that can mean the score attached to a token choice or to some downstream judgment built on top of the model.
I love that we have to keep saying just math, like we're calming down a raccoon. But okay, the mechanism is clearer now. What actually makes models get this wrong in the first place?
A big reason is that training rewards being right on the training distribution, not being perfectly honest about uncertainty. If the data is imbalanced, or if the model sees weird out-of-distribution cases later, it can become very sure in exactly the wrong places. Modern models are often overconfident because the optimization pushes them there.
So the model learns a kind of blunt confidence posture. It gets good at answering, but not naturally good at saying, this is probably one of the weird cases.
Yeah, and that's why calibration is often treated as a separate layer of work. You can take a model that already exists and try to fix its confidence outputs after the fact. Temperature scaling is the classic example. You adjust the softness of the probabilities without rebuilding the whole model from scratch.
That shows up in the evaluation work we looked at too. In those model evaluation frameworks, the whole point is not just did it score well, but whether the scores mean anything you can build on.
Right, and that's why calibration also matters for systems like TabFM, the tabular model we looked at. If you're using a model on structured data, you do not just care whether it predicts the right column most of the time. You care whether its confidence can tell you which rows deserve a human second look.
Mm-hmm. And that connects cleanly to the weird moral values piece we looked at too. If a model is confidently wrong about a culture or context it hasn't really learned, that confidence is part of the failure, not just the answer itself.
Yeah. Although, let me be careful there. Calibration doesn't solve bias or value mismatch. It just tells you whether the model's confidence tracks its actual success rate. A model can be perfectly calibrated and still be making bad choices for reasons that have nothing to do with confidence.
Good. That's an important guardrail. Because I can already hear someone turning calibration into a magic truth meter, and that would be very much not the move.
Very much not. Calibration is honesty about probability, not moral purity, and not guaranteed correctness. A model that says, I'm 50% sure on everything, could be perfectly calibrated and still useless.
Which is such a classic machine learning gotcha. The metric can be technically satisfied while the product is awful. That is deeply our brand, honestly.
Yeah, and it's why the real question is usually whether calibration is good enough for the decision you want to make. In a low-stakes suggestion box, rough calibration might be fine. In a high-stakes workflow, you want much tighter alignment between stated confidence and actual reliability.
So if I'm hearing you right, calibration is what lets a human decide when to lean in and when to step back. It turns probability from decoration into something operational.
Exactly. And that's why it keeps showing up in the stuff we cover. It is the difference between a model that sounds confident and a model whose confidence can actually be used.
Okay, but let's ground that in the examples we've been circling, because otherwise this gets too abstract, too fast.
Sure. On the evaluation framework side, calibration is one of the things you want to measure instead of just raw accuracy. If a framework compares models but ignores whether their confidence scores mean anything, you're missing part of the picture.
And with Inkling, the open multimodal model we looked at, the practical question isn't just whether it can do the task. It's whether its outputs are confident in a way that a team can actually trust when they're building with it.
Right. And with TabFM, which is aimed at tabular data, calibration matters because tables are exactly where people want a clean number and then want to act on it. If the model says a case is low risk and it's not, that number has real consequences.
Oh, and the moral values example is almost the opposite pressure. There, the model can be fluent and very sure while carrying around a weird default lens. Calibration doesn't fix the lens, but it can at least stop the model from pretending that lens is universally correct.
Yeah, that is a good distinction. Calibration is about not overclaiming. It doesn't tell you whether the underlying judgment is fair, wise, or even good.
So where does this sit now in actual practice? Because I think some people hear an old probability idea and assume it got absorbed into something fancier.
My read is still very live. It's not some dead relic that got replaced by a newer trick. If anything, as models get used in more decision-making settings, calibration becomes more important because humans need a way to tell whether the confidence numbers are worth anything.
Yeah, that's my read too. It's one of those unglamorous things that never gets the headline, but it stays load-bearing, which is extremely annoying and extremely useful.
That's basically our whole show. in one sentence.
It really is. So the one thing I'd want stuck in your head is this. Calibration is whether the model's confidence matches the world, not whether it sounds smart.
You and if that line feels too neat, good. The messy version is that you can trust a model's confidence only when you have checked it against reality, bucket by bucket, over a lot of cases.
There you go. We finally spent an entire episode on the thing we've been side-eyeing for months. Very healthy of us, honestly.
UI, cannot believe this is how we're spending a Wednesday.